Direct from Music City, this is Live from Nashville.
Your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Decide to do, Jolene.
Welcome to Live from Nashville for this beautiful, sunny Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me is my lovely co-host, my wife, Mary Kay. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning. Great song that to start the show off with, honey. Yeah.
Dolly Parton's Jolene, not Beyonce's. Not Beyonce's, but... What do you think about Beyonce's new album? I know you're a huge Beyonce fan and have been for years.
I am.
But what do you think about the new album?
Well, first of all, I'll just say I do get a lot of criticism from especially my Christian friends. I am also Christian, and I know that there's some things about Beyonce and her music videos that are, you know, not in keeping with maybe the standards. But I will have to say her music for me in my life at different stages has been really important. Just the feeling of empowerment, the strength of her voice, her vision as an artist, I deeply respect. And I was excited to hear she was doing this album. I really felt like she's done a very good job of sharing her point of view about her upbringing in the state of Texas with her Louisiana background. My tip of my hat to Beyonce for producing that album.
Well, I do like Texas Two-Step, but that's about the only thing on it that I really, really like. But anyway, I'm grateful that we have people that are getting into the Western and the country music field from different
yes,
fields. And it's kind of interesting. I've got this little thing called Today in Country Music, and I was just noticing on here, let's see where that is, 2012, Lionel Richie was number one on the country charts. How about that? How about that?
That's awesome.
Lionel Richie was number one on the country charts with Tuskegee, and that featured 13 of his hit songs performed as duets. So, you know, it's not unusual for people to cross over, you know. And
right.
More power to it, and it's great to be accepting in the music world with people that come from different genres. But anyway, enough about Beyonce this morning. We have a wonderful show lined up today. Who's going to be joining us today?
Oh, my goodness. Our very first guest, I already have fallen in love with her, and she's on my list to be a friend, is the lovely, radiant Deborah Greiner. And second half of our show, I'm really excited to get to know and listen to the music of Rowdy McCarron.
All right, so we're going to have a great show today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Brand new artist for us, and I imagine for many of our listeners around the world. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Deborah Greiner. It's called Ruby and Max. We'll be back in just a moment on Live from Nashville to visit with Deborah.
There's a big old house on a little dirt road where everybody likes to go. Where Mama's making biscuits and Pampa's shucking corn. Way down south by the Mississippi mouth where the cornbread pot, the peas in the pot and the truck's pulling in with everybody's kin. Down at Ruby and Max, yeah, down at Ruby and Max. So Johnny and Mac will slip out the back and get them guitars in tune. Then it's Miller time in the moonlight. Johnny grabs that microphone, and from between the stars through the pickling jars, the canned collard greens and the big butter beans comes the sweetest sound for miles around. Down at Ruby and Mac, yeah, down at Ruby and Mac. Ruby's kitchen floor, and then she quits her dishes for a dance with Uncle Jack. Watch her wiggle around a shake like a little corn snake, hands in the air, suds everywhere. She's the brothers and the cousins and the babies by the dozen. Down at Ruby and Mac, way down south by the Mississippi mouth where the cornbread pot, the peas in the pot and the truck's pulling in with everybody's kin. Stars through the pickling jars, the canned collard greens and the big butter beans comes the sweetest sound for miles around. Watch her wiggle and a shake like a little corn snake, hands in the air, suds everywhere. See the brothers and the cousins and the babies by the dozen down at Ruby and Mac.
Well, goodness, with a big eye, we'd like to welcome our next guest, Deborah Greiner. She comes to us by way of New York. She has spent her time on Broadway. She is now in Nashville making music, and it's a big, big addition to Nashville to have her here. She has a brand new album out, And we're going to be listening to music from her new album and visiting with her today. And my window closed. I had more to say, but the window on my my computer closed. So that means that we will now introduce you to our lovely guest, Deborah Greiner. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, you guys. It's so good to hear your voices and be on your show. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. And yeah, and for those that are listening around the world out there, Deborah was scheduled a couple of weeks ago and there was a technical problem. So grateful to have Deborah come back and join us today. And we're just going to have a whole lot of fun listening to music from her album, A Place to Start. And so Deborah, how did you get involved in music to begin with?
Well, you know, I've always been a performing type, Gary. I, when we were kids, we would put on shows in our backyard and sing for all the neighbors and charge them a quarter, and they would look forward to our shows every year, you know. And and I, you know, I dabbled in playing the guitar. My dad was super musical. My dad played the guitar, the accordion, the banjo, the organ, and he was the one who would always kind of bring instruments home. Like, I remember he brought home an auto harp once. And as I like to say, you know, he taught me three chords and I've been playing them ever since.
Wow. So when did you start performing?
Well, in my backyard for sure. And then later on when I started teaching, theater that brought me to teaching. I had started doing some children's theater. I moved to New York to be an actress, and I had started doing some children's theater there. And it was educational theater, so we would go into the classrooms afterwards. And I just realized that, like, wow, I could really, like, get into being with kids and teaching kids. And so I decided to, you know, it kind of called me, and I went. And then while I was a teacher, of course, I was working, teaching on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where lots of my parents were in the entertainment business and on Broadway and stuff. So we would start, we would do some cabaret shows together. And, like, you know, I played a lot of guitar with my kids, but I also, like, I kind of was, you know, doing fundraisers and stuff with the parents, which was really a lot of fun. Very, very happy.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it was the theater that really brought me, you know, my love of the theater and performing that kind of brought me to New York, you know. And still,
I
think even my songs, to me, my songs are, they're just vehicles to communicate with people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well,
I can
that's
feel
what,
that.
That's what music
that
does. That's what songs do. Yeah, that's what good songs do anyway. So I want to get to another song real quickly. I mean, we're going to call and talk a little bit with Deborah about how she ended up in Nashville, Music City. But did you write these songs yourself? Are these songs that you
did? I did. All of them are my songs. One of them is written with Bob Sutton. That's Laughter, Weed, and Wine. That's written with Bob Sutton.
All right. So we're going to get to beautiful music right now. Is there anything that you'd like to tell us about this song?
Well, it was a song, like a lot of these songs, I wrote it during the pandemic. And actually, I had been watching Governor Cuomo's briefings every day. And they really anchored me during the pandemic. And I really tried not to miss them. And one day, I had missed one. So I had rigged up my phone to my TV with a cord so I could watch it on the big screen. I YouTubed it. And before it came on, they started playing this Muzak. And it was really kind of pretty Muzak. And I remember that I just flopped myself down on the couch and I was like, oh, yes, play me some beautiful music, please.
Love that.
And then before you know it, like in my COVID loneliness, I was dancing around my apartment singing play me some beautiful music to the Muzak. And then I thought, hey, you might want to sit down.
There's a song. Yeah.
There's a song
in that.
Here it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to beautiful music. We'll come back and talk with Deborah Greiner in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
rest for a while. Come and listen, can you feel it? Quiet the mind and fill the spirit. Play me some beautiful music, please. Sway me with beautiful music. I need to move. I know we sure could use it, simple and true. Come and stand with me and sway. We might change direction, find a better way. Sway me with beautiful music, please. Sing me some beautiful music. I have no words, but if you sing me some beautiful music, you might inspire a verse. Come and write the one where we comfort the crying. No one ever gets tired of trying. Sing me that beautiful music,
style is very conversational. I felt like the listener is just right there with you, and just beautifully done.
Well, that is so nice to hear, because I have to tell you, Mary Kay, you know, I've become a fan of your music too. I could not believe. I looked up some of, you know, obviously I did a little research before coming on your show, and I'm like, watching these music videos with you standing in these canyons with the mountains rising up all around you and the wind blowing your hair, and then your voice kicks in, and then the beautiful songs. I'm just like, who are these people? I need to know these people. I mean, it was just beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm
really
going
to
just I'm just going to sit back and listen to this Mutual Admiration Society for a while, okay?
But I really mean it.
No.
I mean, like some of your lyrics, like Unbecoming, I remember you said Unstitching, like that beautiful song about, I think it's called Unbecoming, wasn't it? About
yes.
Kind of like beauty lies and stripping down who I really am. I mean,
yes.
It's just what a beautiful message, and you wrote it and you delivered it so beautifully. And those music videos were just gorgeous to watch. You know
thank
what I mean? Yeah.
Now,
Unbecoming, I loved your cowboy song
Unbecoming,
too.
Oh, thank you. I just have to throw in here. Unbecoming was written by my dear friends here in Nashville, Helene Cronin and Andrea Renfrey. And it was my first time to record a song that I'd not written. And so
really?
It just spoke to me. Yes, it spoke to me. I loved it. And I knew it would speak to other women. And I think, you know, as a songwriter, we have to sometimes say, okay, I didn't write that, but it's meant for me to sing. So
yes, and I also think, you know, on the tail end of that, that it's really important what you choose to write about and what you choose to put out in the world, right? Because first of all, it's like your energy, you're living that. Every time you sing that song, you're living that. And I think very carefully about what I want to put out there and what I want to, you know, kind of be, you know how your songs kind of become like your right arm, right? Like you just play them so much, they just become a part of you. And you just want to be, you want to choose wisely. You know what I mean? So
definitely.
I think it's smart.
Definitely. You know, listening to that song is Play Me Some Beautiful Music. Is that one of your songs that people are requesting to hear live? I'm just curious.
You know, I'm just really getting out there with live shows. I mean, I just had my first live radio show with WMOT on Friday. I feel like I'm living so large because now I'm getting to talk to you guys today.
But
I haven't been out there too much performing, but I'm getting out there. And so I don't know, as far as requests about beautiful music, I'm afraid I can't really answer that. I know that, like, I run a song circle at Westminster Presbyterian Church, and I know that it's a song people in the song circle like to hear, for sure.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
Now, with this album is kind of a follow-up album. You had a debut album that came out. Was that also produced here in Nashville?
This is my first album produced here in Nashville, and it's interesting because during the pandemic, I went to go see Don Henry in a round, and Steve Leslie was playing with him, and I just loved his songs, and I loved his style, and I had been getting some coaching from John Desner, and then he was, you know, on the road a lot, you know, because they were traveling with Tom Paxton, he and Don. And so I reaching out to Steve Leslie, and he began coaching me on Skype. I think we had about two sessions before the pandemic hit. And then, you know, we went to Skype because I drove back to New York. And he was the one who, you know, he really, you know, he said when he heard, he goes, I'm all over that record. And I'm like, you sure are, Steve. You sure are. So, you know, he helped me a lot with my arrangements and, and, you know, he was coaching me on these songs. And so he knew Denny Martin because Denny Martin had also produced his record, some of his records. And so he, you know, hooked me up with Denny. And as soon as things, you know, when people started to move around a little bit more during the pandemic, I ended up coming down to Nashville and making this record, which was so much fun. My goodness.
I love that.
I was so fortunate when I look back, you know, to have so many people just lifting me up and then getting Don Henry and John Besser to sing back up for me. I mean, come on. It was just the greatest. It really was. I feel incredibly grateful, you know. I feel incredibly grateful. So.
Well, it's a beautiful album. We're just so glad our audience gets to hear it and hopefully they can reach out and find you and find your music. From this interview.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're playing it on your station. And, you know, obviously I have a website like everybody else, DeborahGreiner.com. And, so yay. Cool.
All right. Well, I want to get to some more music. This is from the album, A Place to Start, and another great, great song. It's called What I Wouldn't Do. We're talking with Deborah Greiner on Live from Nashville, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy.
Thank you.
step backwards from the ledge, repelled to 1,000 feet below. And I've camped beneath the junipers near the canyon's northern rim, nearly frozen in the cold and snow. But what I wouldn't do to feel the sweet surprise, the unexpected wonder when I look into your eyes. But my heart cries, wait a little longer. Stop and enjoy the view. But what I wouldn't do, what I wouldn't do. I'd kiss you every morning. I'd write you silly poems. To your eyes, but my heart cries, wait a little longer. Stop and enjoy the view. But what I wouldn't do, what I wouldn't do.
Deborah Greiner, our very special guest today on Live from Nashville. And Deborah, I don't think Mary Kay or I have either one to ask you, but what brought you from New York to Nashville?
You know, it's a funny thing because sometimes, unbeknownst to them, people say something that kind of changes your life. And I had attended the Swannanoa Gathering Music Camp, just a wonderful music camp. And I sang in an open mic there. And John Dessner, when I was done, kind of came through and said, you know, wow, that was unbelievably beautiful. Did you write that song? Kind of thing. And
yeah.
I think that was the first time that I really, I just felt extremely, it was, you know, when people who are successful like that and they validate you, it makes a big difference, you know? And I think that was kind of the beginning of me starting to think about maybe I can do this, you know, kind of thing. And I was initially thinking about moving to Asheville, North Carolina, because I loved the Swannanoa Gathering and I loved all the people that I met there.
Beautiful country
and, then I
and
finally,
the built more, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful there. And then I thought to myself, you know what, I think if I don't put the N in front of it, I might never forgive myself. I need to go down there and see what the big hullabaloo is. What's the big hullabaloo?
Oh, you are a songwriter.
You know what I mean? It's like, let me go down there and see what this is all about. And then at least I can say I went there, you know, I lived there. And I have to tell you, I have never looked back. I mean, I've been here a year and a half now. I feel, you know, I said this the other day to a friend, but it's really true. This friend of mine had once said to me, he moved from New York City up to Owl's Head, Maine. And he said to me, Deb, when I got there, I felt like my whole life was waiting for me. And it was such an inspiration for me. I feel like the exact same thing has happened to me. This is the life I was always meant to live. I mean, if I died tomorrow, hopefully I won't, but if I did, I would say thank you. Thank you, God. I am so truly grateful. You know, it's been a wonderful year and a half here in Nashville. I am just humbled and honored to be part of this incredible music community and just to be in the company of such amazing musicians, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you guys.
Welcome to Nashville. Well, I want to tell you that Mary Kay has named our home. What did you name our home, Mary Kay?
Birdsong.
So she's named our home Birdsong. So every now and then we get together and have a lot of artists that come over and we kind of do a little potlucky thing at the house and do some jamming. And so we're going to have you come by.
Yes,
and do some jamming and meet some people that are
goodness,
transplants.
That is right up my alley. See, that's why I moved to
there
Nashville.
We go.
See, like this.
There we go. Well, listen, you have a great album. It's called A Place to Start. We're going to encourage people to pick that up. You can visit her on her website at deborahgriner.com. That's deborahgriner.com. Enjoy her music, and we look forward to seeing you, Miss Deborah, here at Birdsong before too long.
I just want to close by saying one of the things that I read about you is that when you have people on your radio show, you really like to make them feel like they're just visiting with friends around the campfire, and I just want to thank you so much because that's just how I felt talking with you and Mary Kay. Thank you so much for making me feel so welcome. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll look forward to that invitation.
All right. We're doing that pretty soon. We're going to close this segment with another song from the album, A Place to Start. It's called My Childhood Friend. We've been talking with Deborah Griner today on Live from Nashville.
Never.
we ever see the world the same again? When everything we thought we knew's been twisted round, turned upside down, and what was certain misconstrued. My childhood friend,
listening to Live from Nashville, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Rowdy McCarron and sharing music from his great album, Here.
I wanna live on a four-lane highway. Don't wanna drive on a dead-end street. Don't wanna lie just to have things my way. Nobody drives in the new out there. I'm gonna watch for the rough road warning. I wanna roll in the left lane and walk on a tough, soft shoulders. I don't wanna stop on a one-lane bridge. I'm gonna fly on the wings of angels. Don't wanna die, give the devil his due. Ain't gonna merge from the right turn only. Never wanna run from a dangerous intersection.
Road signs from the album Here, and so I'm going to read this directly from the public relations firm that sent this to me. David Brim, a.k.a. Rowdy McCarron, can claim a lifelong devotion to making music. That was evident early on, from the age of three, in fact, when his mom would observe him getting into a groove whenever music was played in their house. Please welcome to the show, Rowdy McCarron. Hey, Rowdy.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're awesome.
Good.
So glad to have you
good
on.
Good to have you.
Good
to have you with us.
Yeah.
The age of three, you were getting your groove on, huh?
I was. You know, my parents just put on the music, and I would be doing my thing in the front room.
Oh, wow. Well. So did you grow up in a musical family, or did they just love music?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't grow up in a musical family. My aunt used to sing a lot in the choirs. I did a little bit of choir. But from there, I was mostly doing, getting into my own thing, water skiing, being a kid at that time.
Right.
didn't really get into music till I was about my mid-20s. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen?
Well, the funny thing is, I was going fishing with my grandfather, and we're heading over to the launch area. I'm like, you know what? I've got to find my voice. You know, I love to sing, but I always sang, you know, tried to sing like the artist, you know, it just didn't work. And
my grandfather
says, hey, you know, you got to find your voice. And my grandfather called me Davey. So, but eventually I did. I just put on a song one day and, you know, and it just came out. And from there, I just took it from there.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, it's kind of interesting how people get started with their musical career. Mary
really
Kay
is.
Was how old, Mary Kay, when you got started?
39
years old, and Rowdy, she was pregnant with her 10th child at that time.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
When she got started. Yeah. Was that on the 10th child? Or? Yeah, but anyway.
I went from making babies to making albums. So.
Hey, doesn't get any better than that.
That's right.
Gosh. So where was your first performance? Do you remember where you first performed?
Yeah, at a wedding. I was break dancing on the middle of the dance floor. that was my first performance.
Oh, gosh. That is too cool. That is too cool. Well, I didn't ask you this, but where was home? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Tacoma, Washington. I actually grew up in the suburbs, Puyallup, Orting, Packwood, Elby area. That's where my roots are. So that's where I grew up.
All right. And so for everybody listening now, Rowdy now lives in Las Vegas, but you were in Nashville for a while too, weren't you?
I was. I moved to Las Vegas in 2005. It wasn't for music. It was to help my dad run his business that he had here. And I ran into a couple friends, and they said, hey man, you got a great voice. Let's do something with that. We put a band together. I started playing little venues here and there, and eventually worked my way into the casinos. I've been in the casinos ever since. It's been a great journey for me. And then about 2012, I said, I've got to make an album. Everybody's like, Rowdy, you got to make an album. I didn't have an album at the time.
Okay.
So I sent a gentleman to Nashville to find a producer. You know, I wasn't really familiar with Nashville. Never traveled there. He came back about a week later. He says, hey, man, I've reached out to a couple people. You know, maybe we should have some contacts. Well, the gentleman that I ended up, the producer that ended up taking me and producing my first album, Eyes Wide Open, was Fred Vail. Fred Vail owns one of the oldest recording studios in Nashville off of Azalea Place, Treasure Isle Recordings. He ended up hitting it off there. Yeah. I sold everything I had. I bought an old F-150 pickup, bought a single 23-foot wide, you know, 23-foot long trailer. It was probably built in 1970. I hitched it up. Yeah, it's crazy, right? I didn't think it was going to make it, but it did. I ended up staying. I ended up staying in the Grand Ole Opry RV Park out of Goodlettsville. I stayed there for about a year. Yeah,
I know exactly
yeah,
where that is.
It's great. I ended up staying there for about a year and a half. I was in the studio about 16 hours a day. We were finding songs, did a lot of Songwriters Guild. Sean Andrew Murray, Songwriters Guild in Spain, he sent over a few songs. Nick Nichols, Amy Chenoweth. As a matter of fact, I ended up meeting Beverly Ross. Beverly Ross flew in from New York. And she had this song called it was called Trailer Made. Well, we're in the studio. at Treasure Isle Recordings, and Fred and I were going through CDs, and who walks in was Michael Knox, Jason Aldean's producer. And Fred looks at Michael and he says, hey, he goes, you know, Beverly wants to know what you're going to do with this song. And Michael says, you know, I didn't find it, so it's not right for Jason. And I was like, wow, okay. So right away after Michael leaves, he says, hey, Rowdy, you want? He just bought those new rafters, the black rafter. And they said, you want to come out and look at the car? I said, yeah, in a minute, man. I said, I'm just trying to get things dialed in here. And we ended up getting on the phone with Beverly Ross right away. And there were two co-writes on the song. I can't remember the other gal's name. But she goes, you know, I don't think Rowdy can do the song. And Fred's like, Rowdy can do the song. We need to do the song. So she flew in from New York, and we sat at the piano probably for about, you know, an hour and a half, and working things out. But talk about a fun person. And that was the first song on the album Eyes Wide Open was Trailer Made. I mean, everything. I mean, I've got so many great stories of so many great people that I've run into. And Jan Buckingham, another great songwriter. She has a couple songs on the album. But, you know, all the people that I got to meet and network with, it's just invaluable. But that was some experience right there.
You're a songwriter's dream come true. Come to town and shopping for songs. That's what we all hope, you know.
Well, the inside of my trailer looked like the inside of my trailer looked like a tornado hit. I had CDs everywhere, you know, living on top ramen and hot dogs, you know, for about a year and a half. But
I think Rowdy, there have been quite a few people that have stayed in that trailer park over the years, and so you were in good company. I think Lainey Wilson was there for a couple of years, you know, so. It's crazy. I want to get to another song. This is the first single from the album here. It's called I Drink. And we're going to take a listen to that and come back and talk more with Rowdy today on Live from Nashville.
He was on. Big person is how I refer to her. I put her on a pedestal too high and so fair. Treat someone like a goddess and it don't work out so well, as far as I can tell. I drink to forget the way she held me. She forgets the way she looked when she was walking down the aisle. Another shot of something, and I'll be feeling nothing. I raise a glass, remembering her smile. And then I drink, and I forget her for a while. First time that I saw her, thought my chance was none to slim. Every guy must fantasize that she would be with him. I thought I hit the jackpot when she smiled and said hello. Should've known rock bottom was the next place I would go. But now you know. I drink to forget the way she held me. Forget the way she looked when she was walking down the aisle. Another shot of something, and I'll be feeling nothing. I raise a glass, remembering her smile. Then I drink, and I forget her for a while. We'll be right back.
till dawn. And I won't call her names, though there are some that probably suit her. I guess I'll be more careful what I wish for in the future. So I drink to forget the way she held me, to forget the way she looked when she was walking down the aisle. Another shot of something, and I'll be feeling nothing. I raise a glass, remembering her smile, and then I drink and I forget her for a while. And then I drink and I forget her for a while.
You know, your songs just feel so fun. I love them, Rowdy. Great voice.
Oh, thank you. I had a great producer on this album, Rob Hagel, American singer-songwriter. He wrote the hit song for Air Supply, Just As I Am. He also wrote for Grease 2, the movie.
Wow.
Went down in the bunker, Let's Do It for Our Country. We're really, really good friends, and we had met at the Pioneer Saloon, one of the oldest bars in Nevada, about 2 years ago. And he came out to hear me, and he's like, "Man, we got to do an album. What do you think?" Da 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 da. And I'm like, "Hey, you know what? Let's get together and work it out." Well, we decided we were going to do like a 3 or 4 song EP because he wanted to take some of the pop songs he wrote and turn them country, which we did.
Yeah.
And then we just hit it off from there, and we've been really good friends, and we're working on, as a matter of fact, we're working on a third album right now. We'll be working on a Christmas EPK this year too. So a lot of great
things. Oh, wow.
For sure.
That is so cool.
You know, Rowdy, it's so interesting. As people get started in their career, I always tell them to take your time and find the people that are going to be part of your team. And
right.
When you find the right combination of people to work with, you want to keep working with them. And,
right.
You've got a great sound on this album. And
thank you.
That's very cool to hear that story. Now, how much touring do you do? Do you do a lot of touring, or are you mostly in Vegas?
Well, right now I'm in Vegas. I'm working with a couple agents in Florida, one in Oklahoma. We're putting a tour together. I'm also working with cruise ships at this time. We're putting a bunch of country cruises together.
Oh, that's great.
That's where we're going now. I play a lot in Arizona, Colorado, Utah. Haven't played California yet, but Tampa. We're working on Tampa too. So putting everything together.
You know, Gary and I would love to ask our artists to share some fun stories from the road. We call this section of our show the road stories. Do you have a road story you can share with us?
Well, I think I've got a road story, but I do. So a few years ago, I think it was about 2015. It's kind of an ironic story, but it's kind of a story that, you know, kind of I had to adapt. This is what you call one of those adapt stories. So we just got back from doing our showcase at Third and Lindsley. And then for a few labels, Sony, RCA, Broken Bow, et cetera. And then we had a little showcase we had to do down in Margaritaville, down on Broadway. From there, we flew back, and we did the after party at Stapleton at the Hard Rock. And then about 2 days later, we went up to Craig Ranch, where I opened up for Parmalee. And then a few days later, I had to fly out and open up for Love and Theft. I've opened up for Kenny Rogers, Sarah Darling, Jack Ingram. I've opened up for a number of great artists. But
holy
this story
cow,
kind
Rowdy.
Of sticks.
Wow.
I like to think I've accomplished a little bit, but haven't accomplished
yes,
everything
you have.
Yet. You know, I've got a great team behind me now, and I just love it. But getting back to the story, we flew out. We had to open up for Love and Theft, and this is about the third time I opened up for him out of Sisters, Oregon. And Jonathan, he says, "Hey, man," he goes, "we're going to open up for you." I said, "Great." So we packed our trailer, we got everything, we got all staged, and we're getting ready for sound check. Well, I had this perfect microphone I loved. I mean, it was a wireless. I loved it. I could do anything with it. And I remember putting it in the trailer. Funny thing is, we go ready for sound check, and I can't find my microphone.
The people
that we rode up with, one of them didn't have hardly any money, right? He's like, Rowdy, I just don't have it. I said, you know, well, I said, we got a band fund, you know, the typical type stuff. So
yeah.
About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're downbeat about 8 o'clock, and I go back to get my microphone. I can't find it. So I go back to the bar, and the guy who didn't have any money all of a sudden has a roll of money. He ended up hawking my microphone. So that night I had to sing on a leash, and I don't like singing on a cord or a leash. It's just not me. It's not my personality. But that was one of the road stories that, you know, when you lose your equipment, that's something else. I can tell you that.
Lord.
Did you get your mic back?
That's the question.
I did not. As a matter of fact, I checked like 3 or 4 different pawn shops, and it was gone. So I don't know where it is. Somebody used
that. May be one of the saddest road stories I've heard. I don't know. It could be.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. That's pretty sad.
That's
Mikey.
But,
gosh.
One of those things, you know. Well, I have great stories about, you know, the recording studio, you know, Dolly Parton and Fred Vail and Pete Coleman and all the great guys that were there. I mean, it was just it's just fun.
Well, tell us a Dolly story, because we opened the show up with Jolene.
Well,
Dolly, tell us a Dolly story.
This is kind of funny. So I'm sitting in Fred Vail, you know, you walk into Treasure Hour Recordings, there's a kitchen there, and they've got an A room and a B room and a tracking room. Well, there's a kitchen there. And I'm sitting on the couch, and Fred, he's doing the dishes. Well, between the center counter and the sink where he's doing the dishes, you know, he's got his back turned. So who walks in is Dolly, right? Dolly, she looks, she says, don't say anything. I said, I'm not going to say anything. So Fred doesn't know she's there, and he's doing the dishes, and she's wearing this kind of like dress kind of coat thing. So she kind of opens up the coat, puts her chest out, and walks behind Fred and rubs her chest on his back. And he goes, Rowdy, stop it. I said, it's not me.
Jeez.
That was a fun story, you know.
That's a great story.
So funny.
Oh,
yeah. That is so funny.
Dolly.
Another great story we had when we were doing the tracking, Adam Schoenfeld, Tim McGraw's guitar player, he did a lot of the songs along with Chris Luzinger on my album. As a matter of fact, Chris Luzinger MD'd my album. And we'd always, and everybody's going to hear this, and nobody really knows what happens in tracking rooms, but I would bring a bottle of Jack every day, right? So Adam and I, before we did any tracking, you know, we'd have a few shots, and before you know it, you know, the bottle's gone with everybody. And when you walked into Treasure Hour Recordings, they had these windows up there. Well, I had about 8 bottles of Jack Daniels that were all signed, you know, and those were all mine. we did tracking for a week. So,
a lot of great stories.
That's great.
The album is entitled Here, and we're going to get some more music from that, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk more with Rowdy McCarron. And I have the vision of Dolly, and that's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Here I am. Here I am, baby. Rowdy McCarron from the album Here. Here we go.
My soul, I never knew.
Well, our special guest has been Mr. Rowdy McCarron today for the second half of Live from Nashville. Rowdy, it's been so much fun talking with you.
Oh, it's been great.
I don't know. We're going to have you back, maybe just to tell road stories again or studio stories.
Oh, I'd love
studio
that.
Stories, yeah.
Studio
a lot
stories.
Of studio stories.
Yeah. And you have a new album that's coming out, so we're going to have you back to share music from that as well. But for folks that are around the world that want to buy your music and follow you, how can they do that on your website and social?
Yeah, they go to rowdymccarron.com. You'll find all the links there. I'm on every listening platform in the world. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, all the listening platforms out there. I'm real easy to find. I think I'm on Google more than Google's on Google. So you just type in Rowdy McCarron and it'll scroll forever. A lot of great things that I've done, and you can find me all over the place.
All right. So do that. Rowdy McCarron, and the album is here, and it has been so much fun visiting. When do you get back to Nashville very often?
As a matter of fact, we have been invited to play the AMAs in September. I believe my show date's going to be September 19th.
All right. Well, give us a holler. Give us a holler when you're back in town. We'd love to connect with you. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Oh, I'd love that too.
Well, I'm going to close out this segment of the show with another great song from the album Here, and it's called Any Heart Can. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about this, Rowdy?
Any Heart Can. Any Heart Can was written by Rob Hagel and Harvey. The song was originally a pop song, but we turned it country, and just putting the vocals on it and the alliteration that was put into the song along with the musical team he put together, it really popped the song. It changed it completely from what it originally was till it is now. And it's a great song. It's a catchy song. Get you hopping in your seat.
Well, it is a great song, and I thought this was just a great song to use to close out this segment. You have been so much fun. Come back and see us, my friend.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks, Rowdy.
This is Any Heart Can. It's from the album Here. We'll be back in just a moment. Live from Nashville.
And you're looking for answers. You ask me, and I've got to say that your questions sound so familiar. If it was only yesterday, I asked the same question, and one simple answer I found. One day the tears just disappear, and all I can say is somehow any heart can break into pieces. Any heart can be mended again. I know that it's true. It's what mine's just been through, and if mine can, any heart. Is all I can give you to say one day you'll be fine. If you need someone you can talk to, you can call me anytime. Call me anytime. I know it hurts, and I'll be there. I remember when you were there for me. All I can say is the pain goes away. It's not easy, but you must believe. Any heart can break into pieces. Any heart can be mended.
Well, Mary Kay, what a fun show today. Did you have any fun?
I loved it. I thought it was a great show.
A lot of fun visiting with Deborah Griner, and look forward to having her over to the house and doing a little picking and singing here at Birdsong. That'd be kind of a fun thing. And look forward to meeting Rowdy in September when he comes back to Nashville. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But so many great, great guests, and we certainly appreciate people taking their time to join us on the show and to share their music with our audience that's around the world. We want to thank our sponsors of Equestrian Legacy Radio, live from Nashville, the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. And those are the sponsors that you'll find on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. You'll find those in the general store, Legacy Select Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, and east of Santa Fe. So if you are enjoying the Western and equestrian lifestyle, you'll enjoy visiting all three of those segments on our website, equestrianlegacy.net. Thank you to our very, very fine sponsors. And we want to remind you that you can listen to all of our shows on our website at equestrianlegacy.net, on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. Mary Kay, this has been so much fun, and you have just come back. I want to mention this real quickly. You've just come back from being a celebrity presenter at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Awards in Oklahoma City, and you did such a great job. I actually got to watch that on the Cowboy Channel, and you looked beautiful, as always.
Aww.
You're welcome.
Thank you, babe.
And you did a beautiful, beautiful job. Was there anybody in particular that you met this time that maybe you hadn't in the past?
You know, we had some great, a couple of really beautiful young girls who are Western fashion influencers who came. It was my first time to see them at this event, and I just loved meeting them. I love seeing the young bloods come on up and celebrating Western culture and fashion. They were delightful, and it was fun to welcome them into the crowd of those of us who were there. So,
yeah, it was pretty neat. Well, Reba McEntire received one of the awards there, and Keith Carradine, who has been involved in the movie industry forever and so many movies that he's been a celebrity and star in. And then Mo Bringsplenty received an award, an Horizon Award, I think the first ever. And that was quite an honor for Mo to be able to receive that award. And you got to visit with so many of our friends. One of these days, I'm going to have Barry Corbin on the show. We've got to talk with Barry about so many movies and television series.
We would need to make it a 2-hour show because he has so many great stories. And
probably so, yeah. Or two parts, maybe two-part show or something.
Two parts,
like that.
Yeah, two-parter.
But, yeah, great picture with you and Barry that I think I've shared on social media already, and you have as well. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. Missed you. Glad that you got home safely. And,
I missed you.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I want to remind everybody to join us this coming Thursday for the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. Bridget and Johnny Reedy will be joining us on the Campfire Cafe. And Bridget, man, I tell you what, 22 years old, I think she is, and Montana cowgirl. But Johnny is an awesome instrumentalist. Bridget is a great poet and singer, but she just finished doing a show with Andy Hedges at the Grand Ole Opry a couple of months ago. 2 weeks ago, they played at Carnegie Hall. And so we're going to be talking with Bridget about that experience and Johnny. And then we'll also be visiting a friend of ours at Bridle Ridge Horse Campground in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And a young lady who is a phenomenal horse trainer will be joining us from Florida. And that's all coming up this Thursday on Saddle Up America and as well as the Campfire Cafe. Well, I loved listening to Deborah talk about your music. And you made quite an impression on her. Yeah, you made quite an impression on her with your song Unbecoming. So, Mary Kay, mm-hmm. we're going to close the show today with that song. This is Mary Kay Holt's beautiful song, Unbecoming. If you'd like to order it, you can visit her website at marykayholt.com. And we're going to close with that. Darling, we'll see you shortly.
Wish I'd never started wearing a life that wasn't mine. Trying to meet the expectation I disappeared behind. Putting all the pretty on to cover what was never wrong. Till I didn't even recognize the stranger I'd become. Gonna be unbecoming for a while. Keep what I want, throw what I don't, and I didn't signify. Start unwrapping, unstitching, learning how to unpretend, believing beauty lies, stripping back to who ballerina dancing when they pull strings. Always crying in the shower, always posing for the crowd. I guess there's a lot about me I gotta figure out. So I'm gonna be
I never started where